Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com in Western North Carolina, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and ConjureMan of ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we welcome a special guest, Miss Miranda of MissMirandaTarot.com in Minneapolis, Minnesota, bringing us today's topic on freezer spells. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo conjurer rootwork as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and ConjureMan. Miss Cat?
Hi. Thank you for that introduction, Reverend James. So, just to catch up, because we know things have been really tough, people still recovering from the hurricane, and then a second hurricane came through, not through your area. How are you guys doing? Are you got all your electricity, all your running water, and all of your friends safe and secure?
Thankfully, yes. We haven't had much issue. Things are starting to fall back into place, you know, but there are still some places like Chimney Rock that still have a lot of rebuilding to do. But luckily, yeah, we are okay, and those immediately surrounding us and our immediate family and things are okay. Thanks.
All right. Well, we just, you know, we still holding everybody in our thoughts and try to send them good vibes. And I know now that with the larger kind of earth-moving machinery that has been invented and developed since World War II, many things are possible that would have taken 5 or 10 years to rebuild. Some of those stone walls that came down during the Roman era were never rebuilt because it took hundreds of years and hundreds of people to make them. But now, with these giant machines, we can rebuild it. Okay? So, I'm much more cheerful about such things than when I walked through Rome as a little kid and looked at the broken Colosseum and thought, why didn't they fix it? Anyway, well, I'm glad you guys are on the mend and doing well. Things out here in California are lovely. We just had our first rain of the year.
Yeah.
And I would call it more of a sprinkle than a rain. But, you know, we always mark, because we only have rain 6 months out of the year, we always mark if we have an early rain. Now, it may not rain for the rest of October, but it did rain, and that was our first official rain of the year. Usually the rain starts in late October or early November. But every once in a while, we get these little sprinkles, and they're nice, and this was one. So the ground is nice and fresh. Everything is good. The little stray Bengal cat that keeps on coming around for food has become more and more tame. And she lives next door, but she keeps on coming to us for food, and we found out her name is Fifi. So we're having fun with Fifi these days. She's not our cat, but she kind of wishes she was. We have a theory that the reason that all the stray cats in the neighborhood come to our place is that we sell and bag catnip. And they smell it. They want it. And they come into the shop and they go, there's catnip in here somewhere. And so Fifi is in search of catnip, and also, of course, she's in search of churu treats and many other things that all cats know well. So that's the news there. The other news we have in the shop is we have been able, after a number of years, to be able to find vendors who carry a few things we have not had since COVID. So I'm not going to try to get all your hopes up, folks, but there were a bunch of products that we sold regularly. These were not made by us. These were things that were imported from other countries. And when COVID came, those companies, some of them just disappeared forever. Others were importers in the United States who dealt in imports from other nations, including herbs as well as manufactured products. They couldn't get them anymore. And one of them just sort of popped up into our knowledge, and they're back. So some things that we used to carry just as regular stock in the shop is going to be coming back. And some new things, too. Most of these, just to get you thinking, most of these will be from India. And the supply lines had really just completely broken. So look for some more and different Indian incenses, some Indian incense brand soaps, some of those beautiful ash catchers we used to carry, couldn't get for a while, and so now they're all coming back. So that's sort of the big news here. We have to make new SKUs for them. We have not all the same designs we used to have. We have to get them on the web pages. So it's the usual, just working at the shop, and Nagashiva is helping. And for one more thing, I do want to talk about politics before Conjurman comes in and aces me out of my political diatribe. Okay. Can I go first this time, Conjurman?
Please.
Where should I start? Can I just start with what the fuck? Okay. What the fuck? So, all y'all, I want you, if you, under the sound of my voice, have not made up your mind to vote, you got a few, depending on where you live, you can vote up to the day of the election. But depending on, you better check your state. Some states have already passed their registration time. Some have not. Be sure you're going to vote, folks. Be sure. And if you want my opinion, which you may or may not want. If you don't want my opinion, just stick your fingers in your ears right now and go la, 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 and I'll tell you when to stop, okay? But if you want my opinion, you should be voting for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz for so many reasons. One, they're not senile, insane, incompetent, and shitting their pants on stage. Number two, they stand for women's reproductive rights, which we need to restore, and they will do that. Number three, they really are nice people. Boy, that's a big difference, isn't it? They don't hate. They don't hate immigrants. They don't hate people of different religions. They don't want to have a Christian fascistic theocracy in the United States. Those are good reasons to vote for them. Please, if you consider planet, please do not give Trump and his grifting buddies another bite at the apple. They already did so much destruction, and it's going to take a lot of heavy earth-moving equipment to fix it because they really screwed it up. And I'm not going to say that Biden was the best president ever. I voted for him reluctantly. I'll be honest. You never saw me campaign for him. You never saw me. I cast my vote. That was it. But I really do think Kamala Harris can turn things around. She's bright. She's educated. She has a compassionate heart. You can just see it when she talks about people. And God knows, we didn't come all this way to go back, so we're not going back. Okay, now, if you had your fingers in your ears, you can take your fingers out. And it... But you won't know that, will you?
How will they hear
you? You can just stay there with your fingers in your ears as long as you fucking want, you
it.
Idiot.
Take your okay. fingers out of your ears.
All right.
There we go.
So I'm still posting Kamala Harris and Tim Walz posts on my Instagram and Facebook. Drop by and like them. They get a lot of likes, and that sort of boosts them in the algorithm, and then more people see them. All right. How about you, Conjurman?
Things are certainly going. Election is right around the corner. I honestly can't believe how fast it's coming up on us. I don't think it hit me until today that it's like a couple weeks out. It's like 3 or 4 mm-hmm. weeks out. And it was mm-hmm. 3 weeks out. And it was, for whatever reason, I thought there was definitely more time. And I think that just speaks to just this has been one of those years. We always talk about this. Whenever the year ends and we start the new year, we always talk about how fast or how slow the years have gone. And this is another one of the ones that just, it flew by. It really flew by. I mean, I feel like we just started 2024 and we've only got a couple months left and it's over. So this one absolutely flew by and it doesn't seem to be ending on a quiet note. So, I mean, two hurricanes back to back, that is, you know, absolutely wild. So solidarity and prayers to everyone in Florida. I've got friends and family and colleagues in Florida, and I've seen some of the images that are coming out. And it's horrific. And the reality is that this is kind of the future, right? This is what climate change brings. It brings these catastrophic, apocalyptic-like storms where even places in, like, North Carolina, our wonderful announcer has just experienced, you know, are being hit by hurricanes. So it's a 2024 is a year to really reflect on what you want your future to look like. You know, do you want a future in which we tackle climate change, or do you want a future where we don't tackle climate change? And I think that decisions need to be made, and we need to really have a serious conversation about what we're going to do. Because, I mean, 2024, we had fire season, right, Kat? You and I in mm-hmm. California experienced fire season, and it was not a good fire season. Let's be real. It was one of those ones where every day you turn on the news hoping to hear the percentage of contained, and like day after day after day, they're like 0% contained, 0% contained. It was bad. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see more and more of that. And then you tune into the East Coast and you hear these apocalyptic hurricanes. So, you know, there's a lot riding on the decisions we make about the future. And I think those decisions need to be made now about what type of future we want, about if we're going to be handling climate change. I mean, it's nice. We all recycle. But we need like a real overhaul of this system if we're going to make some serious change. I was reflecting on this because today was my cleanup day. So I always spend Sundays cleaning up my altars and my room. And I found this book that I thought I had lost for ages. I always have books and then I sort of lose them and then I buy new copies of them. So this book I had thought I had lost like 3 years ago and it was just on a shelf somewhere. I found it and it's specifically about climate change, the history of climate change. It's by the McNeils, if anyone's interested in history. William H. McNeil, he's an American historian, does really, really particularly good work. But I was reading through it, and I just went, yeah, we really, really need to address this right away, because if we don't, we've got a problem. The book is called Something New Under the Sun, by the way. And it talks about how there's this radical change that's happened. I mean, you can track it when you look at the big picture history that happens post-industrialization and that it's just been accelerating ever since. If you look at like the history of hurricanes since we've tracked them, you can quite literally see them getting worse and worse and worse and worse over the years. And so I've been all day thinking about, you know, realizing that the election is only a couple weeks away and that time is sort of shrinking on us. You know, that my big question is, when are we going to take action? Right? When are we going to start planning for this future? Because someday we're going to wake up and say 2026 and be like, oh, man, we really should have done something back in 2024. We really should have done something by 2025.
Yeah.
By the time we reach 2030, it's like, oh yeah, the coasts are now you can't live on the West Coast and the East Coast anymore. So, you know, not to preach, but I think climate change really is, these hurricanes have really made me go, we have got to do something. And of course, solidarity and prayers to everyone who's trying to rebuild their lives after what happened.
Yeah, I sometimes feel like an old broken record that just the needle just drops and skips and goes back and forth over and over saying climate change. When I found out that there were climate change deniers, and that's many years ago,
oh,
I was horrified. I thought, well, we should just educate them and they'll be okay. Oh no, it's gotten much worse. There are now people on YouTube claiming that these two hurricanes were created by FEMA and the Democratic Party and the FBI. Just to target states that might have voted Republican. I mean, that is absolute insanity. But it was promoted by liars, the same way that the Haitians eating cats and dogs was promoted by liars.
Or the election was stolen lies.
Oh, yeah. These people are grifters and liars. They know they are, and they have no right to govern our country. They need to be kicked to the curb decisively. So, well, there we go.
It's manufactured delusion. Seriously.
It is. It is. Now, I do have a couple of announcements to make, so let me get to those. We have a winner for last week's Hoodoo Psychics contest. Now, while I, you know, drum roll, please, but I want to talk for a minute about Hoodoo Psychics. Hoodoo Psychics has just upgraded their server to a more secure server. There are a few bumps in the road. There are a few wiggles on the line. Would like everyone who has been a Hoodoo Psychics client, please go into Hoodoo Psychics. You will have to re-enter your credit card number because the old system was not very secure or wasn't secure up to modern standards. And so they're not transferring the credit cards over. You can find your account. Your account will still be there, but your credit card will be as if it had expired. And I've been talking to Deacon Millett about this because it's causing a lot of people a lot of frustration because it takes time to re-enter your credit card and they're not expecting to do it. But if you do it, Deacon Millett is going to be making some kind of a little valuable something available, probably some free minutes of time if you renew. So maybe talk to him about that and get your free minutes. The other thing about the new system, it has some new applications that it did not have before, one of which is pay for chat. I have not yet signed up for it. I don't always use my cell phone. I use my landline when I do Hoodoo Psychics. But those of us who have cell phone connection or want to patch into their cell phones, we will be able to do chat live and pay per minute. And that means that we can use translation programs to talk to people in other languages. So that's pretty good. Also, the new system allows people to call in from other nations, which the old system did not. It only allowed people in the USA. Now they can call in from other nations. And that brings me to the winner of last week's Hoodoo Psychics contest is, ta-da, Balkan Diviner.
Yay!
Who is, as most of us know, in Romania. So now we can really do that kind of thing, and congratulations, Balkan Diviner. So with Hoodoo Psychics, and look at the upgrades. They are being done a little bit at a time and rolled out to the public a little bit at a time. If you know and love Deacon Millett, give him some a shoulder to lean on because he's stressing pretty bad. This came down very quickly. It did not come down perfectly. And, you know, so he needs a little bit of a cheer up. And if you can do anything to help, he could use the help. All right. Now, we also have this week's winner for the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour contest. And this is Facebook Fridays, which where Lucky Mojo gives away products. We're still old-fashioned. We have no updates, nothing. We're just out there at Facebook. You can enter to win. And our winner for this week, which was last week, I should say, for the contest that we had on Friday, was Roderick Mosley, or Mosley, but I think it's Mosley. Roderick Mosley, he won one of our Botanical Book Bonanza specials, and that has four books in it. Hoodoo Urban Root Magic by Cat Ironwood, that's me. This Amazing Book by Sunray Products Company, edited by Cat, me. Legends of Incest Urban Oil Magic by Louis de Clermont, edited by guess who, me. And Hoodoo Food by the Ladies Auxiliary of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, which is a very large collective, edited by Sister Robin, and then compiled and composited by Deacon Millett and me. So all of these use botanical supplies, And these are a wonderful way to do magic. You can also order the Botanical Book Bonanza as a special at Lucky Mojo, meaning you'll get a discount. So congratulations. Roderick has been contacted from the page. And if you know him, give him a congrats. Roderick, if you hear this, if you're our winner, please contact Lucky Mojo Facebook page by clicking message and send us your mailing address for shipping purposes. We will not ever ask for credit cards or any other personal information, just your shipping address. Ah, Balkan Diviner just stepped in to the chat. Hey, Balkan Diviner, you won. Yeah. Phyllis Margaret Gabor says, hey, you won. Yeah, we were talking about you. I hope your ears were burning. All right, so that's it for my announcements, and I think that brings us to our topic for the day. So, big sigh. So we're going to bring in our compatriot, and that is Miranda.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. So, Miss Miranda, tell us what's been going on with you.
Great question. Right now, it is it's fall, obviously, in most of this hemisphere, but especially here in Minnesota. So the leaves are turning. We even have our prediction maps of the colors and things. So that's pretty exciting right now. Personally, I would say I've been really silly busy putting together a tarot reading tent for events coming up. I've had a lot of clients that have hired me for events or parties, and there's always been a request for maybe some more privacy. So I have been going to thrift stores and buying fabrics to make, you know, items to go around a tent frame. And I spent all this weekend dyeing fabric to get around. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of exciting. Just trying to make a little small micro environment so that people feel a little bit more privacy when they have readings with me.
That's really, really great. I've seen some wonderfully creative private tarot tents. One of the neatest ones I ever saw was sort of a cone of straight pieces of driftwood that kind of hung from a big ring that hung from a ceiling. And then it had cloth that came down with a few poles, just, you know, not as many. And so it was like this weird little tube and a cone. And it was inside of a crystal shop. It was called the Crystal People, long gone now. And it had, the cloth was hung on shower curtain rings. And you could just, you went in there and whoosh, closed shut. And you were in there with the tarot reader who had a little tiny table. It was really sweet. It was great. There are so many creative ways of making special tarot tents. I love that. I miss the Crystal People. They were, you know, technically competitors of ours, but when they decided to retire, we bought all their crystals and we kept them at our shop, and we became much less of a crystal shop, of course, than they had been, but we're more of a crystal shop than we were, because as long as they were in business, we never wanted to carry crystals because we were afraid of taking customers from them because we liked them so much. But I don't know who got their beautiful tarot tent. It was lovely. Anyway, so congratulations to you for going on that venture to make the tarot tent. That's wonderful, you know, the gypsy tent.
I mean, it's definitely, I think there's a lot of tradition as far as people have that expectation that a fortune teller will have an environment, or they travel with an environment kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, but I definitely, I'm trying to think of what could be weatherproof and indoor allowed. So
right.
It's been, but yeah, it's really fun. And I think in general, it's just, you know, when you think about the longevity of doing tarot reading, it's, you know, you keep offering different things over time because your clients ask for more things. So it's allowed for a different kind of a setup and different appeal to parties and things. It's
yeah.
Great.
That's wonderful. That's really great. All right. If you have that book, The Fortune Teller's Guide to Success by Valentina Burton, she talks in there about things that will not catch fire and and things that will not break, and how to have a tarot environment in a very jostled, you know, even psychic fair environment, use an acrylic crystal ball, LED candles, you know, she, very practical lady, and those things are going to save you money in the end. The last thing you want is your beautiful crystal ball to hit the floor and shatter, you know.
Right? What a hack. And, you know, I expect to be everywhere. Or, you know, a strong breeze. So, yes, I'm very much like, what can I do to hold things down and make it a little bit more sturdy?
Things that professionals have to consider.
Yeah.
Right.
All righty. Yeah. Well, we have a topic, so let's get to our topic. Our topic today is freezer spells. Now, Shiva reminded me that we did a freezer spell show earlier with Susan Barnes, and it was in I'm not sure when it was, maybe he can put that in. It was in April 3rd, 2016, Ice and Freezer Spells with Susan Barnes. So if you like this topic, now don't leave now, but after you listen to this show, you might want to go back and listen to that one. And we are trying to bring all of our shows back to the future, as it were, and get them placards so people can see the pictures that go with them. They didn't have placards. And also to make them sortable by Toshiba for putting that one in. Okay. Now, let's talk about freezer spells. Isn't he good? Look at that. He put in icebox and freezer spells and hoodoo and theory in practice. And I'm going to mention that really quick, too. Could open up another window if you have if you're on a desktop or laptop. If you're on your phone, good luck. But the URL is luckymojo.com/freezer.html. So that's it. It's simple. And there are pictures, and it talks about freezer spells. So I'd like to talk a little bit about freezer spells before turning this over to Miranda. I always like to try to introduce the topic. The first question I have gotten for years about freezer spells is, aren't these modern? How could they possibly be traditional? And the answer is, ice has been around since the Ice Age. So ice spells are not something new. City people, you know, they don't get it. Ice? What's ice? You know. So ice spells have been around forever, and in many places, even warm climates, ice was imported or made during the winter. There were ice houses where ice was harvested off of lakes, put into, packed in sawdust. And in most northern cities in the United States by the 19th century, there were ice men. I've never heard of an ice woman, or I would celebrate her life, but they were ice men. And they would pack a 50-pound block of ice on their back, and they could walk up many flights of stairs, and they would bring the ice to you, and you would have an ice box. And my mother lived on a fifth floor walk-up in New York City, and the iceman came once a week with a 50-pound block of ice and loaded it into her icebox, which was insulated. And during the course of the week, it slowly melted. The water drained down and had to be emptied out, or it'd go all over your floor and go down into the fourth-floor kitchen below you. It was inconvenient, but it was a way to keep things frozen. And many frozen goods were started to be prepared and made and sold during the era of electrical ice boxes, where they could actually be trusted to stay frozen without an iceman cometh, without the iceman coming. Also, icemen were reputed to be very proficient sexually. And there are a lot of old blues songs about the Iceman or the Iceman's son. And the idea that the woman alone in the house would open the door to the Iceman and have a romp while putting the ice in, I guess. The old blues line is, I ain't your Iceman or your Iceman's son, but I can keep you cool until your Iceman comes. So there you go. So ice was part of both Anglo-American culture and African-American culture, insofar as they were separated by segregation, it was part of both of them. It was not something that only Europeans from the cold, frigid north had ice spells. And although Africans had been brought from Africa, and it was very warm there, they'd been living in America at that point for hundreds of years and certainly had gotten used to putting things on ice. So ice spells are a part of hoodoo and have been a part of hoodoo, particularly since the 19th century when the transportation of ice by railroad happened. Blocks of ice packed in sawdust would be, you know, freighted out to places that didn't have a lot of ice. And they would, you know, they would also put food on ice in refrigerator cars, which were called reefer cars. So get it out of your mind that icebox spells or freezer spells are something new. They are very old. Number two, I'm going to talk very briefly about sublimation. And this is the last time I mentioned sublimation to Miranda, she laughed. Now she's going, oh, I'm prepared for it this time. She's not going to laugh. But sublimation, boration, directly from solid to gas without having a liquid phase. And so ice is water, frozen water, and it tends to sublimate. And this is when you keep things in your icebox, people say, oh, it has freezer burn. But what it really has done is dehydrate as the ice sublimates. And so for this reason, ice spells tend to be temporary. Have you ever heard of the mummified Otzi the Iceman who was found on a glacier? Things that are left in the ice tend to, quote, mummify, which means they dehydrate. How do they dehydrate? Because the ice water sublimates. And so ice spells are never permanent. Having said that, I'm going to turn it over to Miranda for her take on it.
Thank you. I'm in complete agreement. I definitely feel that freezer spells are something that often people, I think, get into doing them because they have a lot of, they have a passion around it. Something has happened and they want to do things. But just remembering that there's a lot of resources needed to continue a freezer spell. And it's one of those things that I'm like, give it a year and don't expect it forever. It's not something that is to banish somebody. It's not something to end anything. It's just putting someone on ice. And then talking with my boyfriend about it, we joked a little bit about Han Solo in Star Wars being frozen in carbonite. That's, you know, they just needed to have his abilities to be frozen partially, you know, like not just partially, but frozen. So he was ineffective, you know, doing what he does best. But it wasn't something permanent. It wasn't designed to be a permanent death. And for me, freezer spells are something when I need a little bit more time. It is like, how can I press pause on a situation, maybe a person, something like that that allows me to have a little bit more time to recoup. It's really hard to control time. So having something put on ice or to make it hibernate a little bit is always really appreciated. I think that is one of the things that kind of makes us feel like we have a little bit more control in some situations when we're faced with, you know, an eviction notice, or maybe there's a job that has a lot of competition, or maybe there's a situation with a family member that you're just like, I don't want you gone forever. I just need you to calm down. I just need you to chill out. Literally, those are the kinds of thoughts there. And I feel that freezer spells in general, they're really consistent, I think, in how that they're formed or how we go about them. But a lot of mindfulness state and put together freezer spell, as well as something that this cat had mentioned earlier when we were talking, was just common sense around building freezer spells, because they are super effective, but you know, you got to focus them the right way, and also having them not explode in your freezer because you overfilled it with something. And every little ingredient in that jar really does matter. So that's how I want to kick it off here, is just like some reasons why you'd make a freezer spell, as well as things that you would include in that and how you would plan for maybe a year's worth of it being there and then how to dispose of it.
Yeah, and this is, I'm going to add a little bit to that, which is that the biggest confusion people have after the idea that they are permanent is that ice spells are the same as name your other kind of container spell.
So
they are not mojos, which is a container spell. They are not dolls, which is a contained spell, usually. It could be not contained. It can just be a doll. They are not mirror box spells or mirror spells of any kind. They are not banishing spells. They are not burial spells or cemetery spells. How about you, Conjurman? How about you take it away?
Yeah, I think you're right on the money, and I'd want to emphasize that one of the biggest confusions that people have is they mistake freezer spells for hot foot spells. That's like the number one thing I hear from people. Well, I just want to get, I want to drive this person away, so I'm going to put them in the freezer. I'm like, that's a completely different approach. And so you often will see people talking about hot foot and freezer at the same time. And if anyone's ever been part of a Lucky Mojo forum, it was like a thing in particular in Lucky Mojo forum, is we constantly get those questions about how to do hot foot and freezer at the same time, often mistaking that these are very different. You can target this, like a person who is annoying you, who's harming you, who is attacking you, can be dealt with by a freezer or can be dealt with hot foot, but they are different approaches, right? One puts up a barrier of ice. It strips them of their power. It strips them and drains them of their ability. The other drives them away. It's a completely different. So you'll see people combine freezers in sort of the wrong way. Another one is breakup and freezer spells. You just froze them in a situation of discord. Yeah, you created discord between these two people, but you didn't break them up. You've now frozen them together. It's like that is not a breakup spell, right? So this is something that we see a lot. So combining these different functions. It also is important, once you understand the nature of freezer spells, it then helps you understand what goes into a freezer spell. There are certain things that work really well with freezer spells. Alum works really well with freezer spells. Lemons work really well with freezer spells. Salt works really well with freezer spells. These are things that work, that are copacetic in the same element, the same experience, same spiritual quality. And when you combine them together, it gives you a really strong freezer working. So for example, alum and freezer is very old school. It's a great way of working. It has a way of puckering up, stripping away, stopping things, halting things, tying things. All of that goes together. So if you're going to do freezer spells, understand the nature of what a freezer spell is, and don't confuse it with these other things that may be related but have a completely different spiritual quality to them.
Yeah, this is really true. And I would like just to put a plug for a book that I co-wrote with Lara Rivera called Bottle Up and Go, The Magic of Hoodoo Container Spells in Boxes, Bags, Bowls, Buckets, and Jars. Mm-hmm. And there's a chapter on each one of those, but including a small chapter on mojos and a small chapter on dolls, even though I've written complete books on each one of those. But there is a chapter on freezer spells. And one of the very first things I actually wrote in it, I mean, just to get people to kind of, I think I put it in like a couple of times because people keep on making the mistake. And that is to say to people, anyone whose name you freeze will be frozen out. If you put your lover's name in the freezer, you have frozen him out of your life. If you put the names of your rivals in the freezer, you have frozen. And then on the next page, I wrote, a note of caution. Putting your lover's name in a freezer spell to cause a breakup with his outside lover or ex is a common mistake. You will freeze your lover. So I had to put that in on two facing pages because so many people make that mistake. Now, just because a freezer spell isn't a hot foot spell doesn't mean you can't put hot things in it. It's what we would call fire and ice or a burning freezer spell. It can be very uncomfortable. You can also make a freezer spell with poppy seeds, which would be to confuse someone, slow them down by giving them dim-wittedness until they just sit there and go, riffy or whatever. You may know who I'm quoting. The idea here is that the freezer spell is not usually made just with tap water. There are other things in it. So first of all, you want to pick your intention. And let's just pick an intention to slow down some landlord's demand for money. I want them to give me a few extra days till I get my check, right? So mm-hmm. you put your landlord's name in there, and you might put it in with a petition written on a dollar bill and say, I'll have the money by the 15th, I swear to God, right? And you might put some of the herbs, maybe make a little tea with the money herbs. You don't need to put them in as whole big sticks of cinnamon or anything. Just make a little tea mm-hmm. and freeze that name in that tea and say now to him, now go take a vacation and come back on the 15th and ask me for the money. You see? So you've slowed them down. When that is accomplished, if it is accomplished, it is time to undo that spell. You don't want to keep them there forever. It's a short-term spell yeah. in this particular instance. There are longer-term spells. You might want to keep your lover's ex on ice for the rest of their natural life, but that means you have to do it every year, because what happens with freezer spells, just like frozen food has an expiration, freezer spells sublimate, the ice sublimates, and you end up with just nothing, a little dry husk of a spell, and so you want to make that spell again. I have done it where I add more water and put it back. That's okay. I've also disposed of them by burning them, but remember, the freezer spell is not forever, and truly, you can just add more water. Now, one of the things that comes up with freezer spells is what are they contained in? So I'm going to turn this over. Miranda, give us a hint on what to contain them in and how.
Well, I definitely feel that, again, it's depending on your situation and what you're trying to do, but vinegar is really common because that is something to sour, something to really change somebody. The other thing about vinegar is, you know, it's a pickling agent. So it's another thing of transformation in a different way, but it can sour somebody. There is also, I noticed on one of the write-ups for the freezer page was war water. But also making the tea I'm a big fan of, because I personally feel like have that influence what you're putting together. And even if you're making a tea, you're actually like heating all of that water up, putting all of that energy into it and then freezing it. It's just a nice visual prayer of what you're trying to get done.
That's a really good point. What you just said, I want to reiterate that. To make a tea, rather than just take a bunch of, like say, cinnamon sticks and put it around that in that landlord spell and just wrap up with the cinnamon sticks and the name and some tap water. No. Boil that cinnamon and get that aroma out there and the money scent, and then strain it off and put that in there, because now you've really energized it. I will be quick to give you the money, but I got to wait until the 15th, right? And then put it in there. And you're going to wait for me patiently. Beautiful thought, Miranda. That was really great.
And then depending on, again, like if we're talking about this landlord and you just need him to just hold out for a little bit, it's also just making good on your promise, right? So like having, whether it's the tea, you want to be treated the way you want them to be treated, sweet. So if it's going to be done with tea in a freezer, that at least when it warms up, you warm it up because you are going to pay, it can bless you twice a little bit. I think that's actually something that people are happier at that time. Maybe he spent too much money on vacation and he was like, oh, thank goodness this money's coming in. So I would almost think of it a little bit more of like the longevity of that spell cycle. But if we were going to like a different kind of freezer spell around, I guess like something more negative or someone you're just really trying to like put on ice for a long time, those are things that you will want to thaw, or if they, you know, get freezer burned out into a year, those have, you could definitely those spells with fire, or depending on knowing your trash refuge place. In my case, my spells can go to the incinerator because we have an incinerator garbage situation here in Minneapolis. But in other places, that is not so true. But burning those spells would make a lot of sense because you want a finite end to how that worked. When it came to the landlord, you're trying to sweeten him and not sweeten him, but freeze him and just make him patient, you can let that warm up and then you can dispose of that spell in a much more careful, sweet manner, like, because it's not going to hurt anybody. It's thinking through that whole spell of what we're going to put in it, how dramatic or intense are the ingredients, whether it's vinegar or a sweet tea, and then also it ends. You've got to put it to bed somehow. I would also say that the majority of the time of the freezer spells that I've worked with is just, you know, a delay or getting someone just to shut the F up a little bit. Speaking, you know, we always used to put a lot of vinegar in there, but I also like using chili pepper or using an actual chili pepper to put their name inside that if you really want someone to suffer the whole time, not just from when they get hit by a few flakes here and there. And then also I like mustard seed. I like using old mustard jars wherever possible because that can also cause some troublesome feelings. If you need someone just to be a little confused, and, you know, actually Puck can also do that. But mustard seed is a little bit more irritable, I guess.
There's some really good ideas here. Many of these condiments have some vinegar in them. And so chili sauce will have vinegar. Mustard will have some vinegar. And those are little bottles or jars. And so at this point, maybe a little late in the game, we need to talk about the expansion of water.
Yes, just going to mention that.
Conjurman, can you take that?
Yeah,
topic?
I was just going to say that if you're going to use anything glass and you put liquid in it, the liquid will expand and the glass will crack and things will leak. So one of the things we always recommend is wrapping. So I was taught to always wrap. Whether it's an aluminum foil or something, there's always like an extra outer layer there if you're going to use any sort of glass. And in fact, a lot of the early freezer workings that I did didn't actually have, we didn't put them in glass jars. We actually folded them up in aluminum foil. So the way that I was taught is to put everything on aluminum and then fold it with, especially with the shiny side facing inward, and sort of wrap it up a nice little packet and then place that in there. So you create almost like these little flat packets that you squeeze a little bit of lemon on, you sprinkled on your poppy seeds, you sprinkled on your black pepper, you sprinkled on your alum and whatnot, and you folded that up and then you placed it in the freezer. You can certainly use glass. I would always recommend to sort of wrap the glass. It depends on how much liquid you put in, but the liquid will expand when it freezes, and then that causes cracks and breaks and whatnot. And sometimes that's the intent. Sometimes you want that to happen, right? You want breaking to happen. You want fragility to happen. You want those sort of cracks. In other instances, you don't because it cracks and then you've got vinegar leaking in different corners of your freezer. So you want to be mindful, know your science here, know your chemistry a little bit here, and also play around, see how thick the glass is, how thin the glass is. Mason jars hold up pretty well if you just put a little bit in there, but then you always recommend to wrap it up again, wrap it up in either aluminum foil, tin foil of some sort, or something along those lines. Some people place, I know several people who do this, who place the whatever jars or bottles that they have in a Ziploc bag, like those big Ziploc bags, and then put it in the freezer so that if it does crack and break, it's then contained in yet another one. Other people don't. They don't like working with plastics in that way. They're like, I don't like the idea of a plastic around this thing. Some people do. They love it. Where they just put the jar, they put everything in the jar, then they put the jar into the big Ziploc bag, close up the Ziploc bag, and then shove that into the freezer so that when the jar cracks or the water expands or whatnot, it leaks into the Ziploc bag.
Okay, so can I just bring in here, if you looked at our placard for this show, you'll see it's a 1950s ad for a cold spot freezer. And these are packages that are in there. If you look at that picture real close, you'll see it says things like pot roast on it and stuff. And this mother is teaching her child how to freeze things. Really. Freezer paper is a really, you can still buy it. It's still there. Freezer paper is a really good way to wrap things if you don't want to put them in a jar. So you can wet the thing down. I tend to put them with paper towels, and I tend to use brown paper towels. And my reason for this came out of not being able to get a tongue to do a frozen tongue spell. Now, a frozen tongue spell is a very old-fashioned spell to keep a witness from speaking in court.
Yeah.
You slit open the tongue, you put them in vinegar and then on ice or whatever you have. The oldest version would be just in vinegar to pickle them, but you could then put that in, on ice. But I couldn't get a tongue, and I had I'm a kind of a hippie, so I like to use undyed paper, so, you know, natural brown paper towels. And so, because I don't like dioxin, which is a toxic chemical that is used to bleach paper. So I had brown paper, and I thought, well, I could take these paper towels and fold them up and make a kind of a long, narrow tongue shape, many, many layers of it. Then I put in all my material. I put another padded, you know, layer on top of this, and then I just tied it up as if it were a tongue, and it worked for me. So I began to use the brown paper towels folded to make this tongue shape, and then wetted it, of course. It was just, you know, dipped into what I needed to dip it into and tied, and then wrapped in aluminum foil, shiny side in. So I began to use that, but I also have used, instead of aluminum foil, I have used freezer paper, just regular old freezer paper.
Yeah.
So to wrap it up after it's wetted. So those are different ways of working. But I also want to say something as an old farm wife. Those of you who have trouble with jars breaking either are using the wrong kind of jar or are overfilling them and putting the cap on. So when you want to use a freezer jar, you have to use something that is the kind of glass that can be boiled like a canning jar and frozen. Now, they make what are called freezer jars, and these are sort of a cup conical shape so that there is no shoulder, and you can just fill them up, but you never put the lid on them until they're frozen because they'll just deform and pop that lid off, and they could break if you screw them down tight. So that's number one. Number two is fill them only to the shoulder. And then check on them as you're freezing. I'm going to look, is it overfilling it? I've done it, and the ice has come up the neck and out like in a like a tube, almost like of this, or a column of ice. Just slice that off and go on with what you got. And put the lid on. Never put the lid on a frozen jar. I sound like my mother. Never put the lid on a freezing jar until it's frozen solid. So there. That was me channeling my mom. And you
and
can
mason jars hold up pretty well in the freezer.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Ages, and they don't crack really.
Right. And there is a difference, by the way, between a mayonnaise jar, which looks like a mason jar, and a mason jar. This is a different kind of glass and a different thickness of glass. You really will need a ball or Kerr jar or something of that type. But never put the lid on until it's completed freezing, and never fill it up past the shoulder. Just don't. And you should have no problem. I've even been able to freeze little bottles, which were for hot sauce bottles, but you just don't fill them all the way. The ice will grow inside and it'll expand. Just be cautious. You have to learn some basic homemaking skills. Hoodoo is a domestic art. It is not guys in velvet robes with you know, wands and stuff. It's people with cold spot freezers, right?
Yeah, yeah. You should definitely use freezer paper also. If you ever do any sort of tongue working, that you like, just get freezer paper anyways, even if you don't use tongue, but especially if you do any type of frozen tongue, that freezer paper is a lifesaver. You can buy them online. It's very easy to get. You can buy them at any sort of restaurant place as well. They're pretty easy to get a hold of, and they work wonders. They are also really great if you want to wrap up any sort of jar just in case. I have found a lot of reusable jars do crack a little bit. You just have to be careful, again, with how much you fill up with it. It also depends on what type of liquid you're using. Water will expand more, vinegar a little bit less. I should also, the different effects that they have also have a bearing on the spell you're doing. So, for example, freezers can be seen as sort of temporary, shut people up, but they can also have a really powerful effect of stripping people of their power. If you're being attacked by someone and you can't drive them away with, like, say, hot foot, you can freeze them, and what it'll do is it'll strip them of their ability to harm you. Not just of their ability to speak against you, but of their ability to harm you. And that's where vinegar comes in handy. Unlike unlike water, which sort of expands and grows and whatnot, vinegar has a sort of different quality when it freezes over. So you can use vinegar in that instance. When you put vinegar in a jar, you put vinegar in some type of bottle, you put vinegar on some type of tongue or whatever working, it has the added component of stripping that person of their ability. As it sort of evaporates, as it goes through that process, you will see that the person's ability to harm you, affect you, influence you, etc., will dissipate. That they will become weaker and weaker and weaker.
Yeah. I'm going to quickly throw in something which we have not mentioned yet, which is that court case tongue spells usually have needles or and some spells will have razor blades in them, and some spells will have nails, or they might have pins. If you do those kind of spells and you want to dispose of them, you should let them thaw and take out all of those sharp objects. Then you can return the item to nature, but do not let dogs eat those freezer spells that have pins or needles. It will hurt them. I've actually, years ago, got a call from a veterinarian who asked me to specifically mention this on their webpage because they had been seeing a lot of these dogs with pins and needles in their stomachs, and they didn't know why until they looked it up online and then found my webpage on court case spells. So don't put dangerous things into the world. You can, if you want to, with a freezer spell, if it's not toxic or poisonous, if ingredients are okay, you can also let it go by releasing it into a river as a river spell. And for that, again, I would use glass, which is inert, rather than plastic. Just throw it into the river and it'll just float away. And the glass will sink and some little eel will make a home in it, I'm sure. Be sure that you don't put anything into our waterways that is not absolutely inert. Okay? So,
I know that there's definitely some spells that involve like more of like actual metal pins or nails, things like that, to keep that tongue closed, whether it's done through pickles or an actual tongue. But another option is to wrap string. And I would say in that instance, I definitely prefer using something that's biodegradable, whether that's silk thread or cotton thread. I think sometimes people get really passionate about doing freezer spells. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if I always remember what I did that spell a year ago. And if you're like, well, I remember that this isn't that serious, so I can put this back into nature. Well, you know, just knowing that something's going to try to eat it or take care of it or dissipate it, maybe having a biodegradable, compostable binding choice is always a little safer, a little easier to.
It definitely tie with cotton, not polypropylene. A lot of people, polypropylene is nothing. Nylon, it's fine. No, it's not fine.
No.
It will not degrade, and it's very, very unfine. Always think of your spells that are going to go into nature or be disposed of as something like organic gardening and farming. Use only organic products because you really are interfering with the lives of other beings, such as animals, and fish. Be very careful. Now, we did talk about burning up spells at the end, and I've found a lot of fun in taking them and sticking them on a stick and toasting them like marshmallows. It has been satisfying to me. I don't know. It just gives me a lot of fun feeling like, you know, I like it. And there are spells that can be made in food. That's one of the things we need to talk about. We talked about tongues, but you can make spells to curse a woman's womb in a fig. You can make a spell to curse a man's penis in a cucumber. And there are many other spells like that that use food products to freeze them. And these usually are genital-shaped foods as opposed to a heart, although I invented one which I gave to Miss Aida and she used it in her one of her books on cursing, in which you use a little chicken heart and you stuff it full of dog poo and you stick three pins in it like the three of swords and freeze it with their name in it.
Really cool topic.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we have the next segment of our reality, which is brought to us by whoever is our recorded announcement, huh?
Support
oh, it's
for this
our real.
Program is
it's
provided
live.
By
it's
the...
not. It's not AI. Thank God, it's real.
Live.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics. The first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now let's go to the phones and talk to today's client. Our client is a repeat client, Michelle from Florida. Calling from area code 850. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I sure am.
Welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It was last week. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And she writes, I'm calling back with an update on the situation with my boyfriend. I was one of your clients last week. I followed your recommendations from last week, and he stood up on me on our date.
Yep.
His father says that his son has mental issues to know what you see moving forward and how to proceed. Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
Wow. Okay. This is interesting because if I remember right, we did point to some problems with this person. Isn't that correct, Michelle?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
I'm so heartbroken because I really like him, and it's the weirdest thing. I knew something wasn't right. And
mm-hmm.
anyway, he ended up, I didn't call him because he stood me up. Well, his father
mm-hmm.
invited us, me and my girlfriend out. My girlfriend likes her, his father, invited us out to go volunteer at some place. But anyways, he ends up showing up over there. And then it's almost like he got jealous. He's like, so what have you been doing all week? I was like, so he must have missed me or got jealous or something.
Don't
like, I
just
see you around
yeah,
town.
Yeah. This is these are all big red flags, and you don't need a tarot card reader to tell you. There is a problem with this person, and don't forgive, don't forget, move away. Put him in a freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you heard us talking about freezer spells? Put him in a freezer and just say, you cool it. Just cool it and leave him there for a year. Do not go back to this guy. That is so insane and so unreliable and so difficult that I don't even want to read on that. So let's read on the future, okay?
All right.
Because I'm just going to say this person is not right for you. And so let's see what we see looking forward. Now, do we want to look forward about him, or we want to see look forward for somebody else? You tell me. I mean, I can tell you, if I'm going to read looking forward for him, I'm just going to tell you a waste of time. Man, the man's ugly.
And that
he's
breaks
ugly.
My heart because I was so attracted to him. But, you know, I understand what you're saying, too. You know, so it's heartbreaking.
It is. It's again, I'm just going to take a moment here just to say something. It's heartbreaking to see mentally ill people, especially those who are good looking, who work out or keep themselves fit. But there's something broken that you cannot see, and it's in their mind. And they may even have a good spirit, but they're broken in their mind. And you are not going to be the one who fixes them. If anything, it might be medication, a therapist, talking therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy. This is not your place in their life. There are many of these people, some of them alcoholics, some of them drug addicts, and some of them simply mentally ill for genetic reasons. If you like to read the news, look up genetic links to mental illness, and you'll find that day by day they are finding more and more genes. Now, these are the same kind of genes that might give a person, you know, blue eyes, or it might give a person a strong musculature. There are genes for mental illness, and they are finding
his mother.
More and
his mother, the dad told me the mother has schizophrenia, Now, he says that he doesn't have schizophrenia, but he does think maybe in multi-personalities, but he does take medication.
Yeah.
He said he
Stay
doesn't
away.
Know if he's taking
Stay
it or
away.
Not.
It can't be fixed. It cannot be fixed. And schizophrenia is genetic in large part, and there are other mental illnesses that go with it, such as bipolar, schizoaffective disorder, and borderline personality disorder. They're kind of a cluster of mental illnesses. There's more than one gene responsible for them. But I would say something else is very important. I'm going to say this to you, but you're an adult. You know what I'm saying. But I'm going to say this to any young person who listens to this. There's a reason why you go to meet a person's parents before you marry them. And it's, to get their approval. Look at those parents and see if any of them are mentally ill, addicted, or violent, because you'll find out. And don't marry the child of such a person. That's just my advice, okay? Now, I'm going to read three cards on your love future, and I'm so sorry it didn't work out, but I remember this and thinking, nah, this isn't going to be good, you know? I just knew it. So,
do they ever find love and heal? Do they ever heal and find love?
Well, let's take a look at that, all right? Card number one I have for you is a card that is actually a good card. It's called the Ace of Wands. It shows the hand of God holding a wand, and it's bursting into new leaf, like springtime comes again. In the background, there is a old castle that's kind of falling into ruins, and there's a little river and some trees. This card, I always think we can repair it. We can rebuild it. With God's help, it can be rebuilt. Even if you have to grow every tree to redo the lumber in the castle, you have to wait till they grow and it's a bunch of years, you can do it. And plan and about restoration of what is yours. The castle, meaning a secure and happy partnership, a good place to live and be, this is possible for you and you can do it. But I would say you want to make some dedications. Every morning when you get up early, look to the east and literally face the rising sun or where the sun did rise and just say, I accept my blessings. And every noon, face to the south where the sun is passing overhead and just say, I accept my blessings and I send blessings to everyone in the world. And every sunset as the sun is going down, face to the west and say, may those who live beyond me to the west receive blessings as their sun rises, because as your sun goes down, their sun rises, right? And you do this every day. You're going to be part of a world community of people who just are receiving blessings and giving blessings. And that's so important for you to do. So I see this as a very strong, good card. The second card says you will receive blessings with the aid of your friends. And this card is the Six of Wands. And it shows a guy on a horse with a beautiful leafy crown of victory. And he holds a wand in his hand with another leafy crown of victory. And walking beside him are five people. And they are all cheering. So don't just stay at home and hope for the best and think, oh, someone's going to come into my life. But get out with your friends and they will support you. And they will cheer you on, and they may introduce you to somebody. And so you can't find somebody new if you just sit home on a shelf. And then the third card I have is, it says this is a journey. It's going to take a little bit of time, but you will get there eventually. It's not a card that says it's going to take forever. This is also a wand card, by the way, and this is the Three of Wands, and it shows a man who has cast a spell, asked for something, and he's waiting, a while, and over the sea come to him three ships. Whoever is going to be in your life isn't ready quite yet, but they will come. Again, he has three wands, so now we have one plus six plus three. So this is a bunch of wands. These are candles. Wands always represent candle magic. So maybe that person who gives you your root work, which will be Conjure Man, will give you some ideas for candle magic. Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Miranda.
Hi, how's it going, Michelle?
Depressing.
Oh, well, as someone who has been in a situation similar, where you're just like, oh man, I'm divorced and I'm so excited by somebody else. And it just feels so good to feel alive. And it just feels great to like know that there's something outside of your, you know, a previous relationship that was clearly, you know, defined by law, right? So everything is exciting. I hope that this moment might polarize or bring into focus how much this might not be for you. And I hope that this is something that could be, I don't know, just a little bit more interesting in your future. So I am pulling three cards right now. And for me, I do three cards. The first card is going to be, what was the big situation? Like, what was going on when this was happening for you? The next card is what you need to know. And the third card is, what do you got to do? So for me, when I look back on the situation, I know we're supposed to be reading for your future, but we will on the third card. And I'm actually going to pull one more that's, oh, I dig it. Okay, I'll do one extra one to add on to that. So the first card I pulled up for your situation was the Hierophant. I think you were trying to go back and fill this gap. And I think even someone in the chat even said something like, oh, you know, she mentioned the divorce and all these other things. It might have been like filling in the hole of where a relationship might have been. So he's not the one. He was just the filler. He was just the vibe. And it gets so, it's so cool to have something in your focus for a moment, right, that isn't the old relationship, but it's still the old concept. The next card is, what did you need to know about it? And it's the Hanged Man. And wow, could, if you ever get that card, if you know it from the Rider-Waite-Smith, this person who is someone who is literally hung up by themselves, they're hanging from like a rod, essentially, like a branch, but they're doing it by choice. And it is, they are not being kept there against their will. This is just something that's, you know, they've chosen a different perspective. They have a really different perspective. And this actually, especially with the corona around the head, this usually reminds me about someone who is very, it's very mental, that there is something actually going on in their view. Their view is not the same as yours. So already you wouldn't have had a really good understanding. You never had good footing because this person's feet were never on the ground. So I think it's just realizing that this taught you something, and also this person has this really strong differentiation in their mind. They're neurodiverse. And so there's a lot of neuro-spicy people out there. I'm one of them. But you'd really need to have a something in common with somebody. And this person just doesn't see the world the way you do, and they may never. So it's a crappy lesson, but also there's a lot more fun in your future. The next card, which is, what do you physically need to do? What you need to do to, like, move on, find love. And it's funny enough, the Five of Wands. So this is now the third card that's been pulled for you that's a wand. And I kind of have a joke in my reading world. I like to think of wands as wangs. I kind of joke about it, but I'm always like, well, there's a lot more dicks out there. Don't worry about it. The Five of Wands to me is like, it's the scrimmage card. It's not about what you're doing is like purposely, like, this is it. This is the final deal. This is a group of people having a scrimmage, having a play fight. You need to go out there and date a whole bunch of people. You need to try some other things, and you need to have fun. And it's, again, it kind of goes back a little bit even to the message that Ms. Kat had when she pulled out the Six of Wands, which is a great, like, hangout after the scrimmage. So if you think about it, all the people that are in the card on the Five of Wands having a play fight, they go and celebrate later with the Six of Wands. So you really need to be out there with other people. You need to be doing something that is allowing you to practice, try new things, try new ways of operating, dating, all of that. Then try a couple different dudes. This guy's not it. That guy was, woo, not it. And then I did pull a four card just to, you know, give you some feeling, some, like, things to look forward to. And it's King of Pentacles. Uh-huh. You don't need to worry about shit. Have a good time. Just, like, go out there, date, try some other dicks. The King of Pentacles, this guy, a more stable, grounded guy, one of the most grounded in the deck. He is literally covered in vegetation, sitting on his throne. That's the grounded guy you're looking for. He's coming. You just need to go out and try everything first.
Okay.
Hope that helps.
I'm kind of a homebody, but I get out every now and then, you know, and but I am heartbroken, you know, but and it's just the weirdest thing. He would call me and tell me about the girl he was head over heels over that broke his heart. I was like,
just don't. A guy who would tell that to you is just living in the past. Just move on. Let's get you some root work here from Conjure Man to try to get you going in something else. And and I think that what Miranda said, go out there, try some other dick. That's pretty good, you know.
Yeah,
that's just funny. Just listening to you say it is funny.
All right. Well, let's see what Conjureman has to say.
Yeah, I'm going to speak a little bit faster because we're running a little bit on a short time. So what I'm going to start off with is a healing bath to help you overcome some of the hurt and pain and heartbreak that you're dealing with, and also to kind of remove anything that may be holding you back from love. I want you to get some rue, violet leaves, and rose petals. Brew this into a tea, and then you're going to draw yourself a bath. Add it into the bath with some milk and some honey and allow yourself to soak and let all the hurt that you feel, all the pain that you feel, leave your body and into this bath. Let yourself air dry and dispose of this bath off of your property at a crossroads, running water, and then come back. I want you to start the next part of this working when the moon is beginning to wax, that is when the moon is growing, and on a Friday. You're going to start at dawn. You're going to write down what you want from a lover, the love, someone you're interested in, the qualifications, characteristics, you know, attributes, all the things you want from a person. You should be very clear. It should be things that you liked about this particular guy without any of the negativity, without, for example, the hesitations, the doubts, etc. You can be as good looking as this person, as handsome as this person, but he's also affectionate and open and transparent and so on and so forth. You're going to be very clear. You're then going to revise this list at noon. So at noon when the sun is high, you're going to go back and look at this list and revise it, removing those things that really don't matter, and then kind of combining some of the attributes again until you get a really good list. Then at night, what I want you to do is take this list and place it underneath a dish. Take a pink candle, so this is a candle working that Ms. Cat mentioned, take a pink candle and anoint it with Come to Me oil. Take some cuba berries and stud this candle in a spiral. Cuba berries are really good to overcome any hesitations from a lover. You're going to stud this candle in a spiral. Then you're going to place the candle onto the dish and sprinkle in a circle around it rose petals and loved root. You're going to burn this down over 7 days. On the seventh day, take one rose petal, one cuba berry, one lovage, and put it under your bed with the list that you created. So the petition paper, one rose petal, one cuba, one lovage under the bed. All the rest of it, the wax, the leftover, you're going to bury in your front yard. Now, when the person you like comes to you, the person you summoned with this spell shows up in your life, you're going to take their hair, your hair, and fold it into that petition paper, keeping it with the rose petal and the lovage and the cuba berries so that you can keep them close to you. So long as it remains under your bed, this person will continue to come to you. So that was a very quick description of the spell. Go and listen to it in an archive. If you missed anything, there will be a recording of this available here. But this is a sort of multi-part working to help heal your heart, draw in new love, and then keep that love close to you.
Thank you, thank you. That's pretty cool.
That's really, really, really great spell. It's an excellent spell for any kind of love situation. And thank you, Conjureman. Thank you for making it very fast, too. So,
thank you.
Okay. And the person that didn't work out well, if it were me, I would maybe just burn a little candle for him to find whatever he can in life. Maybe a black card for mourning. I mean, a black candle for mourning, or a white candle for blessing, and just send him away. Do not approach him again.
Okay. Thank
All
you,
right. You're welcome. Good luck to you. Okay.
Thank you.
So now we come to the tritones of love, and also known on bad days as the tritones of doom. So here we go.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Monday, October 14th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Mystics and Mages and Magical Places with Reverend Art and myself will be a rebroadcast of one of our fine shows. And Tuesday, October 15th on the Crystal Silence League in syndication with John St. Germain will be a topic of Survival of the Soul, the Near-Death Experience, Part 2. And Tuesday, October 15th on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix LeFay will be the topic of Bags, Bundles, and Mojo Hands. And Wednesday, October 16th, on the Now You Know Show in syndication with Professor Porterfield will be the topic of Possession and Magnetic Band. And Thursday, October 17th, at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deb Boyce will be the topic of A Map of the Underworld. And next Sunday, October 20th, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man will be Papa Newt on the topic of Powders and Dust. And now it's time for our free spell segment from our special guest, Miss Miranda of MissMirandaTarot.com in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Take it away, Miss Miranda.
Thank you. So the free spell today is actually a spell from Miss Cat. It's from page 81 of Bottle Up and Go, which was done by Catherine Ireland and Laura Rivera. And Miss Cat actually mentioned that earlier in the show. But it's a great resource for all kinds of container spells, obviously. But on page 81, it is a lemon to freeze an enemy out of a job. To cause job loss to a workplace enemy, begin by preparing a paper on the enemy. Write the person's name 9 times, and across that, the 9 repeated names, write this biblical command also 9 times. Let his days be few, and let another take his office, which is Psalms 109:8. Slit open a lemon and insert the paper. You may add poppy seeds to confuse this person, vinegar, to sour the person's life, and then red pepper to cause burning pain until the person leaves the job. Also insert a razor blade to make sure that the person is cut from the workforce. Tie the lemon back up with string, saying aloud, blank, you are bound, you are tied, you are bound, you are tied, with each wrapping of the string and with each knot you make. If there are other people on the job whom you wish to influence to be as cold as this hated person, freeze a little personal concern of each one with a small name paper into an ice cube tray and then wrap the prepared lemon up with all of the frozen ice cubes around it in aluminum foil with a shiny side inward, quoting each one by name as you prepare the packet saying, you, blank, shall be cold as ice to my enemy, so-and-so, and never offer a token of warmth or esteem. This quote... then quote the portion of the scripture aloud, which was Psalms 109:8, and then change the gender as needed, with each ice cube you add. When the person leaves the job, take the work out of the freezer, still in the foil, and bake it in an oven until it's completely dried out, with not even the slightest trace of moisture remaining. Then toss it away at a garbage dump. I love this spell because it has so many ideas to also apply to other things. It's so good. Thank you, Ms. Kat.
You're welcome. This spell can be used for people who are on your job site, of course, but it also can be used for politicians and is often used that way. Let his days be few and let another take his office. It's a really good way to get rid of a politician who you don't want. This is one of the very few freezer spells that I recommend be tossed in a garbage dump. because by that time you've dried it out and it's just become a husk of itself. The ice cubes, it's just a few dried pieces of paper in aluminum foil. And the shards of the dried lemon that you've baked. So it's a very simple spell. I don't know if anyone has anything to add to this. Do you, Contraman?
Nothing to add other than that I love the combination of working with the Bible, lemons, and phrases. This is a working right after my own heart.
Yeah, and adding vinegar to a lemon. People often say, why are you adding vinegar to a lemon? Well, that's to make it doubly sour, to make it really, really difficult for them to be appreciated, to be cared for in that job where they are. I so much want people to know that this kind of spell can be done also to get rid of a lover, but you would use a different psalm. You would not use let another take his office. In other words, if you want to find psalms that are used for different things, you can actually, the internet has grown so much and become so filled with psalmic, not magic, they're just using them as quotes, right? But you can go in and put in, for instance, psalms to get rid of evil people. And pages and pages of these lists of psalms will come up. You can also go to Hoodoo Psychics, where we have quite a few lists of psalms and what they're used for. You can go to the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers at readersandrootworkers.com and scroll down, you'll find, or just use the search. There's a whole section of that website which has all the psalms and what they are used for. And when you get to the top page of the psalms, you can read through what they're used for. And another thing that you can do is get the book Hoodoo Bible Magic by Miss Michael and Professor Charles Porterfield. And this is an amazing book which contains the same list that you would find at the Readers and Root Workers website, but not linked. You have to go get a Bible. But if you're at Readers and Root Workers, you click that psalm and you'll go right to it. And you can use the psalms, changing them with any kind of a spell. If you want to get rid of greedy people, if you want to get rid of cruel people, there's a psalm for every one of them. And you can use the same lemon spell with that different piece of scripture. Okay, there is our music. And I hope that Nagashiva puts in a little plug for Bible magic. And so we're going to turn this over to, there he just did. What a good guy. We're going to turn this over to Reverend James, and he's going to read us our final announcements, and then we'll come back and say goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjure Man, and thank you, Miss Miranda of MissMirandaTarot.com in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest will be Papa Nude of PapaNude.com in Omaha, Nebraska, bringing us the topic of powders and dust. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Contraman at ContramanConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkContra.com in North Carolina. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band hang the Jug Band waltz. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you so much. And somebody said in the chat it was Miss Miranda, said that Nagashiva is the MVP of the radio show, and I want to say yes. And not only that, he will fix all our typo errors before these are logged in the chats at the Lucky Mojo Forum. He's so good. All right. Well, I'd like to send out a thank you to all of the people in the chat. I know you all. I love you all. Dom Christ, Signe DC, Phyllis Margaret Gabor, Hey Maganda, Dr. Sweets, Angela L., author Valda, you name it. I'm only seeing a partial thing, I'm sorry. Henwick Way is up. everybody who comes into these chats, so much appreciated. And we really love you. Balkan Diviner was here, and everybody gathered around the old campfire, and we have a little chat, and I love you all for being here. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Sentinel is closer than you think. Yep, literal record scratch for a record scratch moment. Maybe you're having a good night out because fentanyl is only in so-called hard drugs, right? Actually, fentanyl has been found in party drugs like cocaine and ecstasy. And even the tiniest amount can be deadly. Get all the facts at factsfightfentanyl.org. Sponsored by the California Department of Public Health.